Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, let's get today's show rolling with some bad news.
Well, this is unfortunate for this one guy who just wanted a cheesy gordita crunch.
Those are so good.
One of the classics.
Austin police have charged a worker at a Taco Bell, 21-year-old, whose name is Samuel Hemmett, with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Police responded Sunday to the Taco Bell about 5:40 p.m., which is interesting because a story like this you would think would happen
2, 3 a.m.?
Yeah, 2 or 3 a.m. Sure. Everyone's kind of messed up. You know, there's a lot of people making bad decisions. But no, this is 5:40 p.m.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, nonetheless.
Okay. Sunday.
The customer told police he tried to place an order, and that's when the 21-year-old Samuel, who was working the drive-thru, said, "Can you not hear?" When Hemmett asked him several times what he wanted on the menu. The customer said that the guy working at the drive-thru began to curse at him and said, "Why don't you pull up and I'll show you what I have," according to the arrest report. The customer told police he drove up to the cashier window, and that's when he saw 21-year-old Samuel, who was working at Taco Bell, holding a black machete and cursing at him.
Did no one who works with him feel alarmed that he just had a casual machete by the window?
Was this just the norm that... Oh, you're like, oh, Samuel's about to hack up another customer. He's so wild.
He had to bring that inside somehow.
I feel like, right? If you're working the drive-thru at a Taco Bell, you're allowed to have a machete.
You stay strapped.
Yeah.
Security video shows the drive-thru window, and sure enough, it shows the 21-year-old swinging the machete at the customer's truck, hitting the driver's side mirror twice.
Oh.
The video also showed him stow the machete in the nearby dumpster after the customer drove away. So he decided to get rid of the evidence, even though, you know, there was already video footage of him hitting the guy's car. And then there was video footage of him getting rid of the machete. Like, you work here, man. Don't you know what video cameras there are?
I feel like if you're talking trash to the guy taking your order at Taco Bell and he tells you to pull around to see what he's got, and you pull around to see what he's got, and you get your car attacked by a machete, you had it coming.
I mean, maybe he just thought, like, pull around to see what I have. Like, I'll hand you a menu out
or
the
some
window.
Earplugs or hearing aids.
Yeah, or I'll just hold up different items, and you can just choose which ones you want.
I don't ever assume I'm going to be macheted.
No. I'm always assuming that there's a machete back there.
Yeah. Well, now I am.
Now, right?
See, also, I mean, think about the
stories. Learned a valuable lesson, thanks to Samuel Hemmett.
Think of all the stories of, like, the guys throwing alligators through the drive-thru windows. It's always the drive-thru window guy who gets attacked.
This guy was ready.
He was ready. Stayed ready.
Maybe a little too ready. So some good news today as well. Hopefully soon we can all say goodbye to robocalls. The TRACED Act has passed the U.S. House of Representatives. They passed a bill making it harder for calls to get through to you. The Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement and Deterrence, acronym TRACED, has pushed a couple of carriers to implement a caller authentication system and requires companies to block the calls for free. The vote passed in the House of Representatives nearly unanimously, 417-3.
Who
are the three dingleberries who did not want this to go through?
Three of the congressmen who have massive payoffs from
robocall companies?
Yeah.
Come on, man. The bill is also expected to extend the time government regulators have to trace phone scammers and more power to penalize them when found. The TRACED Act is anticipated to be passed by the Senate in the coming weeks.
We'll see. Hope so. Yeah. You know, I mean, the fact that, like, how many, even with the I got AT&T, you've got Verizon, you know, they had these blocking things in place already, but I still get probably
I just got a text yesterday saying that I was enrolled in it, and then it had me download this app, but now the app wants me to pay it.
Are you sure this isn't, like, you just didn't get scammed over there?
I mean, it sure looks like a Verizon.
God, you are just a big old fish over there. Just, they love you, man. Some guy in Nigeria who's a prince.
Yeah, did you
just
respond
rolling in
to
the
it?
Dough.
No, I didn't respond to it. I mean,
they got all Dave's, like, password information now, all that stuff.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna clean
you. You don't even have a password on your phone.
Sure don't.
All somebody has to do is whip out one machete on you, and you are screwed.
Nah, man. I mean, they could have anything on my phone. What are you going to look at? I don't have any pictures of my junk on there.
They're on a
zip
file, remember?
Why is it about pictures of your junk? You don't have, like, banking apps and...
You got to know my other passwords. I have, like, 38 passwords. You can't have the same password for your phone that you do for your bank.
How do you remember them all?
Password 1, password 2,
password
3.
Oh, there we go.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So if you're a fan of WhatsApp, it's going to stop working on millions of smartphones worldwide next year. From February 1st, 2020, any iPhone running iOS 8 or older will no longer be supported, along with Android devices running 2.3.7 or older. Users of these operating systems are already unable to create new WhatsApp accounts or re-verify existing accounts. Furthermore, WhatsApp is withdrawing support for all Windows phones from December 31st, 2019, the same month that Microsoft ends support of its Windows 10 mobile OS. So the Facebook-owned Messenger service will continue to provide support for devices running on the Android 4.0.3 onwards and iPhones running iOS 9 and onwards. Basically, if you have an old operating system on your phone and you like using WhatsApp, although I would never use that garbage because it's owned by Facebook. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people do, especially if you do international business or you have different people that you talk to that are not in the United States proper, to avoid a lot of the
fees.
Yeah, a lot of the carrier fees that come along with just, calling from one country to another. This means you just have to update your phone if you have one of the,
But sometimes if you have an older phone, you can't update.
You can't update beyond that, yeah. So that stinks, but it is what it is.
Well, maybe it's time to move on from WhatsApp.
White Castle has recalled hundreds of boxes of frozen sliders over listeria fears. So if you thought White Castle would make you poop before, oh boy.
Now, what exactly are side effects of listeria? Let's look.
Well, it's
a serious, serious stomach illness. Can lead to complications like brain inflammation, food poisoning. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, listeria is no joke.
It doesn't sound that bad. It kind of sounds like a mouthwash.
Yeah, sounds like Listerine.
It does. But they're kind of cute. The picture that pulls up, they're just like little blue squishes, blue blobs.
Let's hang out.
Never would have thought they would hurt
me. I want to inflame your brain.
Think about swallowing Listerine.
Inflamed
though.
In the membrane.
Oh, yeah. Swallowing inflamed Listerine in the brain.
If you swallow Listerine, your stomach is going to be fresh.
Yes, it is.
And sick. And you're going to die.
Avocados with edible coating go on sale for the first time.
What do you mean?
What kind of edible coating?
You mean like an edible skin?
Avocados that stay ripe twice as long as usual thanks to the edible coating on their skin made from plant materials are going to go on sale in Europe for the first time this month.
So they're going to stay fresh for 48 hours instead of just 24? Cool.
I mean, that's what it sounds like,
right? Are we supposed to eat them like apples? This is concerning. Are they like in a rice wrap?
Is it concerning? I mean, it sounds delicious.
Can you
imagine? Are you going to bite into an avocado like just a barbarian? Are you going to eat it like an apple?
Think about if you bite into a black olive that still has a pit in it, let alone the giant pit that's in an avocado.
No, hell no.
Hell no.
No, thank you.
To the no.
You guys want some help?
Hell no. To the no. Hell to the no.
Thank you.
Man, appreciate I wish it had that dude from yesterday on there. I was really getting high thinking he just goes, nah. Yeah, no. I'm not biting any type of avocado skin. I don't even really
avocado
like...
Avocado skin's gross.
It's so thick. It's like an alligator.
You would say no to that?
No.
Would you say, hell no to that?
Yeah.
Hell no. No.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So, dudes can be a little weird sometimes. Like, you all know this. But you had that one caller a long time ago who Mahoney just wanted to knock out. But have any of you had experience with creepy ladies? You don't really hear about many of those.
Message deleted.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good question.
In fact, creepy ladies are creepier, in my opinion, than creepy dudes. And the only reason I say that is because creepy dudes, like, everyone's had to deal with a lot of creepy dudes over the course of their life. And so...
they're more common.
That is more normal.
You see them out in the wild, right? Yeah, yeah, you see them all over the place. Yeah. All over the place. Yeah. When there's a creepy lady, you're like... oh, you got to be really creepy to be a creepy lady.
Ooh, but, what an example. Yes. What's a creepy example?
I used to have a coworker that was creepy AF.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, she worked in the office with us, and she gave me her office chair whenever she was leaving because she's like, I just want to think about your butt sitting in this.
No.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, I was a very supple 19-year-old man at the time. Uh-huh. So. But she would always come up and, like, give like extended hugs and like purposely like push her boobs into me while giving me a hug. Yeah. And I'm just like, hey, man, you're like double my age. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, oh, man. Lord have mercy.
But there's just all kinds of stuff, like examples of her doing stuff like that. Always telling me about how she had dreams about me.
Ew.
And just like, oh, man.
For us to be creeped out as dudes, it's such a higher level, you know, higher barrier of entry.
Oh, yeah.
Because
We like any attention.
Even the normal ones of us, we're still creeps. Yeah. To an extent. You know, we just got it contained.
So let me see your feet. Never mind.
So, like, for us to go, oh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a whole different world.
I do think it's unfair. I mean, the fact that, like, women can't be creepy like guys are creepy. I mean, like, but I guess it all depends on if you're good looking, right?
The extent of the creep and how it comes off.
Yeah, if you do something that's creepy, but you're good looking, it's flirting.
So okay, let me just tell a story.
No, yeah. If a good looking chick comes into the room and asks you to sit on the chair, that's not creepy.
Hold on. Not at all.
Hold on.
Not at all.
One time in
not
my
even
life,
a little bit.
Did I turn that down?
What, so, a hot person?
Well, so
a good looking person.
So there was like many, many moons ago, there was a woman who I was interested in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of knew through other people and casual encounters, that type stuff. Not like not
Craigslist,
no,
casual,
but
folk.
Like, we would run into each other. And I knew people she knew.
I saw you at the Hobby Lobby.
And I ended up like going out with her. And so like have a nice date and things that of that sort. And then she invites me over to her place. I'm like, okay, cool. This is, you know,
going well.
This is going to be a good time. Giddy, I get up over there, and like we start like making out, things are happening, and then her like voice changes. It like drops like 10 octaves. And she starts like talking in this like deeper than Dave's voice, like very deep, almost like you've got like, and it just threw me off.
Do you want to see my areolas?
Like, it just threw me off so much. I had to get dressed and leave.
What? I mean, you didn't.
After you hooked up with her.
No, I did
not.
Such
a liar.
I swear to God. But I left that night.
So
you went back?
Well, like, years, like not years, but like weeks later, I got drunk and I was like, all right.
Come on, man.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So how deep? Like, really? Try and go as deep as her voice.
James Earl Jones deep?
I can't. Like, I'm trying. I can't. It was, like, deeper than that.
I have your father.
No way.
But I will say, pretty good time.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Well, you might not know who this is, but a little piece of our childhood has died today. The guy who is behind Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street has passed away at 85 years old. Carol Spinney.
Dang, man.
Yep, no more.
Why are you trying to make me cry, man? Why are you doing this to me?
Wow.
R.I.P. Big Bird.
Wow.
Yeah, he was the guy that actually did the puppeteering as well as the voices of both Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird. I didn't know the same guy did it. He had been with the show since its inception in 1969 when he was 36 years old, performed them almost exclusively in the 80s during the height of its popularity, and later obviously moved to HBO. As Big Bird, he traveled to China with legendary entertainer Bob Hope, danced with the Rockettes, earned a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, was recognized as a Library of Congress living legend, according to Sesame Workshop. So he obviously had a great run with an incredible program, but 85 years old, he has succumbed.
It's good. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good run.
Those are two of the best Sesame Street characters, too.
I mean, outside of Snuffleupagus, can you name a more iconic one than Big Bird or
Grover.
Oscar the Grouch?
No. Grover.
No.
Grover.
Elmo.
Grover. Elmo, maybe.
Elmo.
Grover, get out of here.
Grover. Grover. Super Grover, man.
Yeah. Grover, that's the end-all be-all for me when it comes to Sesame Street characters.
Him?
There's a monster at the end of this book. The greatest piece of literature ever written.
That's right.
Of all of
like
them?
It's a good, it's the scariest book also.
Spoiler. Spoiler. The monster at the end of the book is Grover.
Ah, come on, man. What
That's
are you
right.
doing?
That's right.
Spoiling that. So another strange news that has to do with our childhood. Hasbro has acquired gangster rap label Death Row Records as part of a $4 billion deal.
Why?
Bizarre.
Would they buy Death Row Records? Because it's been defunct for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Tupac, Snoop Dogg are amongst its artists. It's part of a bid to grow its stable of family-friendly entertainment. The worldwide toy maker announced a $4 billion deal on Thursday to buy British company Entertainment One, which produces animated kids shows like Peppa the Pig and PJ Masks. But they also own Death Row Records.
What do they want to make, like, Tupac toys?
Right?
No, is Peppa the Pig going to put out a
gangster rap album?
Yeah.
Jumping in muddy puddles, what?
do pigs, like, if they get into an argument, it's not a beef, right?
It's a pork? I don't know, man.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present Jim the Birdman's Tales from the Bird's Nest.
It has been far too long since we've heard from our friend Jim the Birdman, and that all changes right now. Ian went back down to the Bird Nest, which is an old blown-out motel that he claims that he is renting from a guy that doesn't want to fix up the exterior because that would make the taxes go up, and really, we know that the guy's just a slumlord and he's squatting, but that's fine.
Exactly, and the building has four fresh broken windows now.
Oh, good.
Also,
good.
Yeah, but Jim is okay, and he's doing pretty well, guys. He doesn't have a permanent job just yet, but that guitar repair business getting off the ground. He's getting some cash there.
He has been hoping to get his guitar amplifier repair business up and going because that's going to be the saving grace, if you will, the cash cow that he always has known that it would be, because a lot of people need their guitar amplifiers repaired.
Of course, especially by a guy like Jim. Mm.
And if you don't remember Jim, he's the Pigeon Whisperer.
Yes.
He originally came to Ian's attention many years ago when Ian saw him surrounded by a giant flock of pigeons, and Ian said, I need to talk to that guy who's got 100 pigeons around him.
And he turned out to be somebody that genuinely loves the pigeons and just a wealth of entertainment. I could listen to this guy talk and jam on his guitar for hours on end. And Ian actually does that. So he hangs out with this guy. This is the latest installment, again, Tales from the Bird Nest.
Where are you going at noon?
Over to the vet's village.
Oh, okay.
I've been throwing away a lot.
Yeah, Jim, you said...
I've got the workbench partially square. That's all bird goodies there. Got to put those in the drawer over there. Okay, I got a whole entire chest of drawers full of new clothes. I got pretty close to 75 pounds of bird seed. So everything is stocked up. I've been doing some repairs, made a little cash, laid in some supplies. Still working for looking for a punch the clocker, but
I, Jim, you're always still looking for a permanent job, man.
Okay, now check this out. Let me show you what he sent me. He sent me some art that I had done back in 1982, right? And I had forgotten that I'd even done it.
What kind of art were you making in 82?
Just a comic book. Okay, now he wrote the story, and I did the art. And it's basically what it is that, Olive Oil had two kids after Sweet Pea. She had one from Popeye, and if you look down there, you can see she had one from Bluto. The Popeye kid is kind of like a punk rocker, and the Bluto guy is a little bit more of like a, I don't know, sort of a mobster, maybe a biker kind of guy, right?
So Olive Oil got around a little bit.
Olive Oil got around a little bit, but that was the basic story. I've been looking for somebody to take over the artwork for Bird Brains.
Yep.
It's going to be a year since I finished it. But I've been looking for somebody to take that over. I looked at this. I said, man, I'm going to do this. There we go. This is an old Popeye card in the 30s. I think that... No, that's not. It's right here. Here it is.
I think that's a manual for a printer.
No, this is Sager right here.
So hopefully you're going to get that off the ground. Now, Jim, did you hear the story about the person that's putting the cowboy hats on the pigeons?
No.
So somebody is going around, and they're blaming the legalization of marijuana. They have somebody going around putting cowboy hats on pigeons.
I would think legalizing the weed, the first thing it would do is give people enough compassion to want to go feed them and know how cool they are and be their pals.
Why do you think they're putting hats on them? There's really no point to it. I don't think the hats are protecting them from anything.
I've got an easier question.
All right. As you munch on your popcorn.
If it takes a half a chicken a half a day to lay half an egg, how long does it take a grasshopper with a wooden leg to kick all the seeds out of a dill pickle? Right? Here's another one. Does the light really go out when we close the refrigerator door? We can never know for sure because we eat the only witnesses. Now, as long as you're worrying about the cowboy hats on pigeons, when you solve that one, do me a favor and work on those other two. Why am I always hungry right before I eat? Why is it that no matter where I go, there I am, right? You know what that is? That's silly throwaway junk.
Yep.
And it's fun, but as long as you remember, you know, a piece of chewing gum is good, but it doesn't make a good Thanksgiving dinner, does it? I'm still having as much fun as I ever did.
Good.
I don't get stressed. Right. Something my dad used to say. Mm. You can put your head in the sand if you want, but you'll be on your knees with your ass in the air. Good luck.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
That guy.
What did we just listen to?
Yeah. What was that?
Is a national treasure.
A philosopher at this point.
Okay.
I feel like I was just on an acid trip.
That's what it felt like, man.
I was running, trying to keep up.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So that Peloton ad that got everyone so up in arms, you know, cost the company almost $1 billion in their stock price, which I'm sure has bounced back.
It's bounced back.
Of course it has. Yeah. The guy who was in the commercial, the Peloton husband, said that he was fearful he would never get another job acting, that he might actually get fired from his job as a teacher, that he was being viewed as a symbol of the patriarchy.
Shut up.
Is paling in comparison to the woman who played that role, who has since spun it into another commercial for Aviation Gin, hired by Ryan Reynolds, which was hilarious, and said that, yes, there's a lot of people making fun of the ad. She doesn't care. She thinks the jokes are hilarious.
Don't care, got paid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just got paid again, and maybe got to contact Ryan Reynolds.
The actress, whose name is Monica Ruiz, was out walking her dog on Sunday when she was asked all about the backlash to the commercial, and she laughed it off like it was no big deal. She said that everyone's been really nice to her since the ad started getting roasted online, along with being labeled sexist, and contrary to popular belief, she said she still feels like she's lucky to be part of it. She also said they were making fun of her on Saturday Night Live. This is the best case scenario for somebody that is a bit commercial actress, mm-hmm. because otherwise everyone just would have ignored it. You wouldn't have thought anything of it. Think about how many other women have been in Peloton ads over the years.
Yeah.
Hundreds, maybe thousands of them.
Have there been that many commercials for them?
I don't know about thousands, but maybe 100.
Hundreds? I would think hundreds. I mean, with all the ads and all the different people that have been in the okay. ads.
Oh, yeah, anyway, true.
But you don't remember any of them, but you remember her, right?
Well, and she said, we do.
Right now, it's working, though. I mean, like, this could be that little thing that gives her that extra little tick up.
I don't think she's a very good actress, though. I mean, she seems like a nice lady, and
Based on what? Did you see the Aviation Gin?
Yeah,
I thought she was fine in that.
I thought the acting was pretty bad all the way around in that particular ad. It was very, like, porn level of acting, you know? Personally, you know, I've seen better. But I will say...
In porn or off camera?
Both. All the hate on Peloton has reinvigorated me on mine. I just ordered new pedals and a new...
Oh, shut
new
up.
New bike seat for
no,
mine.
Why?
I swear
no
I did.
Why?
I did. Because I'm going to use it more now.
Are you going to make a 30-day video for us?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God,
please do.
That's right. When we take Christmas break, I'm gonna get on there. I'm gonna ride it every day. And
see, you're just like me. Unfortunately, I do the same thing where I'll buy all of the stuff first to try to inspire me to work out. So if I know that I need to start getting in shape, I'll go like gym clothes shopping.
Oh yeah.
So that way I'm like motivated. I'm like, I got my new shorts.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get in the gym, but I don't know why you needed a new seat and new pedals.
Well,
I
mean, the seat's kind of, it is hard on the grundle.
So you got one of the bigger seats?
I got one of the extra wide seats.
Good for you.
And I got one so I don't have to put on those stupid shoes, so I got pedals.
Oh, just normal pedals.
Yeah, so I can like get on there and pedal without having to put on the shoes.
Excellent choice. Did you resubscribe to the monthly?
Yeah. So it's probably gonna
He's back.
God.
He's back.
Mahoney has invested thousands of dollars into this bike, has ridden it less than a handful of times, and now after finally having this subscription, which is what, like $40 a month or something?
Yeah, and you just got rid of it like not even 2 months ago.
He finally, after not using it all for over a year and a half, cancels it, and now he re-signs up because... Is 2020 going to be a skinny year?
2020 is going to be a skinny year.
Okay,
but the thought process was that I'm going to spend so much money on this stupid bike that I'm going to have to use it because, you know, it's a $3,000+, closer to $4,000 now with all the subscriptions that I've paid over the last, you know, 16, 18 months, whatever.
It's a lot of money.
So I, you'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So Juice WRLD, sadly, passed away this past weekend.
Who?
This guy.
Who? My grave. I've never heard this song in my life.
Well, he was a pretty big deal in the hip-hop scene, at least.
Yeah.
And he passed away after what they called a medical emergency at Chicago's Midway
Airport. He's 21 years old.
Right, and you're like, so this 21-year-old kid had a stroke or a seizure? Like, it seems strange,
it's
all the stuff that was going down. But now we know more about it. I guess there was a... a tip from the guy who was flying his private plane, which I don't know why he's narking him out, because that's the whole point of having a private plane so you can fly around with all your drugs. But the pilot of the plane, I guess, was suspicious that he had a bunch of drugs in his luggage, and so he called the cops. And what happened is this guy, Juice WRLD, knew that the cops were being called, and so he tried to eat a bunch of Percocets in order to hide them from the cops, and it killed him. Turns out, I mean, the cops and the pilot were right. He had like 70 pounds of marijuana on the plane.
Who travels with 70 pounds of weed?
Well, and also, like, who cares at this point? Like, yeah, it's
well,
weed.
You're rolling into, depending on what state you're in.
Chicago.
It's legal. Well, I think the city is legalized, or it will be.
It's about to be.
It will be soon.
But you still can't go from, you can't cross, like, state lines.
And traveling with 70 pounds of weed, even though, I agree, I'm with you, 1,000%, that shouldn't be an issue, but that's just bizarre. And if you're stupid enough to eat a handful of Percocets because you're trying to not get caught, man, I mean, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
He had six bottles of codeine cough syrup, which contains opioids. Investigators also confirmed 2 9mm, a 40 cal, a high-capacity magazine, metal-piercing bullets also found. So, I mean, it just stinks, man. I mean, it's like this kid's life could have been...
It sounds like it was going to be ruined either way, truly. Like, if he would have gotten caught by the cops and he's got all of that stuff, I mean, one way or another, things were not going to be very good once he got off of that plane in Chicago. And what's actually pretty scary is that he was actually tried to be woken up with Narcan, and he wasn't even able to be
They tried to administer it.
That's like what opioid overdoses, right?
Yeah. Right. So, like, they give you the Narcan, and he smelled it, woke up for, like, a second, opened his eyes, and then...
And then started convulsing and had a seizure, and that was it.
So sad.
Stay away from drugs, kids.
So Ghostbusters Afterlife is coming out, and when you first told me this yesterday, you're like, oh, there's a new Ghostbusters coming out. I'm like, neat. Like, every Ghostbusters iteration, really, since the original.
Two was even not great.
Right. Like, it's
the reboot was not great.
But they've taken a whole different twist on this one, and it's kind of like a kid adventure. And like you said yesterday, Audrey, very Stranger Things-esque. It's actually got the kid from Stranger Things
Wolf
in it.
Howard or whatever his name is.
But it looks pretty awesome.
Well, and Ivan Reitman's son is directing it. So it was written and directed, and Ivan Reitman did the first one.
Right.
So, you know, he's been a fan of the...
Paul Rudd's in it. How do you not love Paul Rudd,
but
right?
But it's darker than what I would think it was going to be.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like mysterious, but there's like kids involved. But at the same time, it looks like it's very well done. And I can only assume that if Paul Rudd's in it, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's like It. Like, I didn't even really think of it. I mean, minus, like, how scary It was, right? Mm-hmm. But it's got that, like, fun, like, the band of kids who are going out, and it's got a little bit of dark. It's got a little bit of a dark twist to it with some, you know, cute, quirky kid humor and, like, adult humor. It's like
kind of like Stranger Things, too. Yeah. But here's a little clip from the trailer.
Somehow, a town that isn't anywhere near a tectonic plate, that has no fault lines, no fracking, no loud music even, is shaking on a daily basis.
Under the dining table now! Hey, remember that one summer we died under a table?
I found this in my living room.
Whoa, killer replica.
A replica of what?
A ghost trap?
I mean, I love it. I love the idea of making this like a
kid
adventure movie.
If you haven't seen the trailer yet, it's worth a watch.
I'm going to post it up on our Facebook right now, actually. It's really good.
There's just not good movies like they had that were good kid adventure movies like Monster Squad and Goonies.
Stranger
Things gave us a little bit of taste of that.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like this is a good formula to kind of follow to kind of, like, expand the Ghostbusters universe.
I'm so into this, man.
Yeah, for sure. It looks awesome. I will 100% go see it.
What was that movie that they tried to make like a kid adventure where the train crashes and...
Oh, was that J.J. Abrams movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Super 8?
Super 8, yes. Like that's what they were trying to accomplish with that and just bombed
hit.
It.
Didn't hit.
I'm a big fan of J.J. Abrams,
one of the only movies that just really failed on his part. I remember being so excited for that movie years ago.
Yep. And finally, George Miller says he is making another Mad Max movie. So if you're a fan of the last one, there's another one on the way.
Hell yeah, man. Nice. Tom Hardy's great.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah, he was.
Charlize, though. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even with one arm, I'm cool.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Nah, put on that robot arm. Let's see what that thing can do.
Well, that's a little much. Oh, oh, turn it down. Turn it down. Wow. Ah! Release.
Why did you do that? Why? Why did you do that, Terry?
There is a certain person, a person so vile and arrogant, the middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary and retail nightmare. A person which we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
We've all encountered that person when out and about, going about our normal daily lives. Somebody that is entitled, they feel like it's owed to them, and no matter what is given to them, it's never good enough. These are the Karen Chronicles. These are all real reviews that were posted online, mostly on Yelp, some from Google, exclusively by women named Karen.
We live in a world, Dave, where Karens have to get their way.
It seems like this time of year as well, the Karens certainly come out of hibernation. Because people are already stressed when they're out and about, and there's most people, if they get annoyed or something bothers them, they'll just kind of
deal with it.
You deal with it like an adult, and you go about your business. Other people, not so much. If they are displeased, everyone shall know about it. And that is exactly what's going on here. Again, all real reviews. And the women at the end of it, all named Karen. And we'll start with a place called Blue Hill at Stone Barns. This is in New York. And this is kind of like a farm-to-table type of...
Ooh, yeah, love it.
Fancy.
Two
love
Michelin
that.
Stars for this place.
Oh, so it really is fancy.
It really, very, very well
almost
done.
Almost one of the highest-rated restaurants in the world.
Josh S. said 5 out of 5 stars. Hands down, the best meal of my life was here. Started out by walking around the farm on a tour, then sat down to eat. It was incredible. Ken S., 5 out of 5 stars. No doubt that Blue Hill at Stone Barns is one of the most influential restaurants in the United States, if not the world. Wow. The chef there has elevated the farm-to-table cuisine experience.
Oh, I want to try this now.
It sounds great, doesn't it?
We need to go.
But wait, Karen X. said 1 out of 5 stars. Come on! Really? This is one big scam. The rich are so dumb. Seriously. Little itty-bitty food with foam and whatever fancy French Manhattan BS plating and BS gimmicks. Oh, it's a farm. Who cares? It's stupid. Mediocre food that's about $30 a bite. Ridiculous. She spelled ridiculous wrong. While trying to be Europeans, and we're not. We are Americans. We want generous portions of quality, unpretentious, home-cooked food, you losers.
$30 a bite? Honestly, that kind of makes me want to try it.
Go to a claim jumper, Karen.
Right?
Also, that foam, if you've never had like the foam, that is a game changer. That is the best stuff on the planet.
I know.
I don't even know what's in it. All I want to know is I want to bathe in it and eat it at the same time.
I was going to say, honestly, her review kind of sold me more. Like, I wanted to try it a little bit more. Thanks, Karen X.
God, I hate stupid people.
This one is for Momofuku in New York City.
Yeah.
4.5 out of 5 stars.
Been there. So good.
Wincy S. said 5 out of 5 stars. Came here as part of my trip to the city that never sleeps. Friends heard about it online, and it was incredible. Vivian N. 5 out of 5 stars. Make reservations. Hands down, one of my favorite restaurants in New York City. Karen W. 1 out of 5 stars. Pork buns equals disgusting. I've had pork buns in many different places. In Hong Kong, in Queens, New York. Takeout is one of my favorite foods. But these were by far the worst pork buns I've ever had, hands down. My husband is Chinese and absolutely hates to not finish everything on his plate. After 2 bites of the pork buns, he said, F this. I completely agree. If you don't know pork buns, don't make them. I could have cooked them better myself.
I don't think she liked the pork buns.
Did you send them back? Did you ask a manager?
Say, get a refund or something?
Hey, these pork buns aren't to my liking, and I'm sure they would have taken it.
I would like to try something else.
Yeah.
This is from Adamson Barbecue.
Did you have the pork buns when you were there?
No,
You did not.
No, but now I'm like,
now you want to try
it? Do I want to try anything
that Karen hates on, I'm inclined to give it a shot.
I really do want to try it.
Adamson Barbecue in Toronto, 4.5 out of 5 stars. Jason J, 5 out of 5 stars. Barbecue is awesome. We had the brisket, ribs, and sausage. Amazing. Michelle M, finally got to try Abramson. And how do you give it more than 5 stars? All the meat was fantastic. Especially love the turkey and the brisket. Karen R. one out of five stars. This place needs to get over themselves. If I spend $100 on a platter and I want to eat off a plate, give me one of your damn paper plates, you dummies. I know how to eat food, but I would prefer to do it on a paper plate. Why can't you understand that simple fact? Don't tell me it's not authentic and I should eat off the butcher paper. Maybe that's how you do things. That's not how I do things. That makes it sound really bad and makes me want to tell everyone in my life that they should avoid this place forever.
A lack of paper plates. This is all
over. This is all over a paper plate.
I think though.
You got a tray. There's the butcher paper.
That's true.
It's fine.
That is true.
It's really fine.
It's kind of like just a large plate.
And actually, the butcher paper is waxy, so all the grease isn't going to soak through, unlike the paper plate.
Oh yeah.
There's a method to their madness, Karen.
Also, couldn't you just said no? Please give me a paper plate, and they would have probably given it to you.
They might not have any paper plates on deck.
Oh, boy.
Maybe just like a takeout, a to-go container.
And finally, the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I wanted to go there for a
four out of five stars. Yeah, good reviews, yeah.
Sounds great, yeah.
Viva C said five out of five stars. This place is awesome. So many interactive exhibits and paths you can take throughout the museum. I learned so much. Spent 3 hours here. Barely saw two floors. Need to go back. Brenda O, five out of five stars. Very good museum. Interactive. Lots of information for all family. It's innovative. It's clean. Good service. Contemporary. It's amazing. Karen P, one out of five stars. There is a saying that the best things in life are free. That conclusion is definitely not disturbed by the Operation Spy experience, because not only does that cost an extra $10 on an already overpriced museum, but it also does truly suck. How bad is it? We were cackling and making jokes about how our own dead bodies would actually self-cremate before being dragged through the miserable experience again. Wait, I haven't mentioned the rest of the museum. $18 for an experience where basically the most fun you can have is crawling through air ducts. The only great robbery would be if you actually got mugged outside. In sum, if you were going to take an out-of-town friend to a museum, this should not be at the top of your list. In fact, it should not even be on your list. If it is on your list, you should burn the list and quite possibly hand that to them to actually put on another list, because this is garbage. This is the most disappointing museum I have visited in D.C. and the second most disappointing museum I have ever visited.
Did she list the most?
She didn't. She just said it was
the second most.
This is the second most.
What's the first one? Does she have another review?
Why are you chronically disappointed in museums and you continue to go to them, lady?
Yeah, maybe those are just not what you actually like doing. Have you thought of that?
Go to worst.
TGI Fridays and call it a day, Karen.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So an interesting quote, again, from the president of Resorts World. He said, this is going to be a property like no one's ever seen in Las Vegas.
Aha,
except for the one right across the street.
God, you guys are the worst.
You're the worst. It's a $4.3 billion price tag on this place, and they couldn't come up with an original idea for the design. That's fine.
What are you talking about?
It looks exactly like the... No, they had to change it to red because it looked exactly like the... I mean, the design is identical.
It's politics.
They're putting something a little fun and flirty on the outside, aren't they, though? Like something that is setting it apart.
What's that?
It's just going to have like a giant projector, or like a LED wall.
That's going to be pretty cool. Yeah.
So just like the Palms.
It's expected to open in 2021. It's going to feature 3,500 hotel rooms, a 220,000 square foot pool complex, 350,000 square feet of meeting and banquet space, and the president of Resorts World, who is actually a veteran casino executive, former president and CEO of the MGM, is no stranger to challenges, but he said Resorts World is the biggest and most expensive project he has worked on. It is not an Asian-themed property, but will have a lot of Asian inspiration when it comes to the design, art, and color palettes and floors. He said the timeline did change a little, as they were originally looking to open in December of next year in 2020. It's going to be pushed back a little bit. They've added to the scope a bit, and there's going to be a 5,000-seat theater, some additional convention space. I mean, you got to think that, you know, that north end of the Strip has really seen a huge renovation in recent years. Mm-hmm. I mean, assuming that the Drew eventually opens, which it looks like it's going to.
I'll believe it when it happens.
But assuming that that opens, what's now the Sahara, but, you know, got totally flipped during the whole SLS disaster. And then the Phil Ruffin guy buying Circus Circus and doing things like putting a Cirque du Soleil show in there, yeah, and getting rid of the RV park and having a huge pool complex and free parking. And then
the
resorts world as well is these are all huge things.
Well, they blew up the Riviera for convention space, right? Isn't that what's going in
there's,
right
that's
there?
A different thing, right? Isn't there going to be a new convention area and then also the resorts world? Are those two different things?
Those are two different things.
Yeah, is that where the...
I thought that's why they blew up the Riviera. It's because there was...
I thought the Riviera got blown up for the what was going to be the Echelon all those years ago.
I don't know. I thought it was going to...
Point
know.
Is... Like,
so that, much stuff is coming in.
They've been planning on doing a lot to that end of the strip for about 15 years now, and it's finally happening after all of the recession and everything else.
A 5,000-square-foot theater, plus we've got the Madison Square Garden Sphere going up over there at the Venetian.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, which is going to be crazy in and of itself. Like, as far as entertainment per capita in any city in the world,
it's not even close. It's not even close.
I can't even keep track. You know, this is our job.
The Foo Fighters played down the street this past weekend, and it barely even made a blip.
Did you see the drones, though?
The drones were pretty cool.
The drone. Yeah. They had the drone thing at the Intersect Fest, which basically
it was like,
just,
it was like a show in the sky where all these synchronized drones you saw, too. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I didn't see that one in particular, but I've seen something similar.
No, yeah. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool looking. Cool. I was like,
but there was. Did you notice there was one rogue drone?
No,
this programming was off, and so it's just like flying off to the side.
It's
like, oh, buddy,
dance to his own beat, man.
That's what it was.
That's right.
So this is actually pretty cool. Our friend Steph sent this to us on Twitter. This is something called Lights of Love, and it's put on by the Medic West. Paramedics here in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And so they say many children will be hospitalized over the holidays here in Las Vegas, and we can make them feel, obviously being hospitalized can make them feel really sad and lonely. On four specific December evenings, pediatric patients will shine flashlights from their hospital windows and look for community members standing outside the hospitals to flash lights back. We invite all members of the community and first responders to be a part of making this magic happen for these special little children. All are invited for this event. So there's a couple. There's one yesterday. There's one today at Summerlin Hospital at 6 p.m. And then at Sunrise Hospital on Thursday of next week, so the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And then St. Rose, the Siena campus, on Friday of next week, the 20th. And so they're all at 6 p.m., but the idea is that, you know, whether it's flashlights or car lights or whatever, you know, these kids go up to the window with their lights and they flash it, and having as many people out there as possible
flashing it back. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So, again,
I like that.
It's going on today at Summerlin Hospital at 6 p.m. It is the 10th, right?
Today is the 10th.
Yeah. So today at 6 p.m. at Summerlin Hospital, and then Sunrise Hospital next Thursday the 19th. St. Rose Siena campus on the 20th.
Very cool. Yeah. I love, man, just
so, thank
so much
you for
good
sharing
stuff
that with us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good people, man. Circa is going to have a huge swimming pool area, and they say that they're going to keep it open 365 days a year. So Derek Stevens made the revelation yesterday. He's building a 777-room Circa at Main and Fremont Streets. And it's the first time in a long time that a new property has gone up in downtown. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a bunch of free parking called the Garage Mahal, which is just awesome.
I love
that.
They're also going to have a three-story sports book there.
Wow.
I mean, they've been jumping. They've been, you know, ahead on the sports game, your sports betting business for a while now.
For a long time, yeah.
So I'm not surprised by that. But
first
all
resort
the
to be built from the ground up in downtown Las Vegas since 1980.
Wow.
In almost 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smart dude.
I guess it will be 40 years when it actually gets completed.
Yeah.
In 2020.
That's
how about
crazy.
That? It's wild.
But it looks like it's going to be awesome. All the renderings, and I love the rooftop pool.
It's like a pool amphitheater where you can hang out at the pool, but it's got this enormous 134-by-41-foot screen that's going to show the biggest sporting events of the day.
Oh.
I just want to live at Circa.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be a 1.25 million square foot resort. So the hotel rooms will start on the 8th floor, and Steven said they'll initially open with 512 rooms and suites while they complete the rest of them. But sounds pretty awesome.
Very cool.
So they're doing cool stuff. And then finally, somebody won big this weekend down on the strip in Pai Gow. Hit $160,000 progressive. The winning this is going to cost me $1 million because I'm going to have to buy a house for my wife. Said Michael Barrows.
That guy's awesome.
But he was at Paris here in Las Vegas. He won the Face Up Pai Gow Progressive for $161,890.
Do any of you know how to play Pai Gow?
No idea. Not a clue.
I see it. I look at it. I go, I have no idea what's going on over
there.
You're
like, I know people love that game, but I have no idea how to play. It's kind of like craps. Like, I sort of know how to play craps. You would think that I should know how to play craps after living here for 15 years.
The only time I play craps is when I'm drunk, and I always forget how to play.
Yeah, I'm like, where's up on my money? What's the pass line? The hard eight? Okay, whatever. Just let's go for it.
Still to come today with Dave and Mahoney.
I do feel like I always make money playing craps as opposed to just donking off money on
really?
Like everything else.
Like roulette.
Yeah. Roulette is just a money suck. Worst odds in the casino.
Mega Millions, by the way, Dave.
Oh, boy.
314. Okay.
314 million? I thought you and Ian were going to do the...
Make the travel.
He was busy that day.
I don't have a car.
Oh, yeah.
His car got taken back.
See, but if you would have gotten a ride with Mahoney and you guys would have won, then you could have bought like 70 million cars.
Could have bought 30 Ferraris.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Did any of you have cool bedrooms growing up? You know how, like, movies back in the day always used to have characters that have super cool bedrooms? I always wanted one, but the wood paneling kind of killed the looks, and all my parents got me was a lava lamp.
Message deleted.
Lava lamp's pretty cool. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, but do you remember, like, the bedroom that Fred Savage had at the beginning of The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, my gosh, it's so much cool stuff. Look at all those posters and action figures.
All I ever wanted was the Tom Hanks big apartment.
Yeah.
Like, that was the, like, the ultimate possible room that anybody could ever possibly have. And now it's like, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to live in New York in a penthouse or an apartment like that. And now I'm like,
I never had a cool room growing up, but my husband in high school, they built a house, and his room had one of those secret, like, bookshelves that would go into,
God,
like,
that's so awesome.
Like a gamer room.
Oh, man, that's the coolest.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Like, even as an adult, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine having one of those and it goes into like a cigar room or like a bourbon room?
Yes.
Oh,
that would be
amazing.
So cool.
So cool.
It would be so cool.
Why don't we do that? Like, why don't more people build those? I feel like as far as like a selling point for a house, I mean, don't get me wrong, like having a guest room is fine, but you're like, how would you like to enter my secret speakeasy?
So cool.
Oh, my God.
That's like goals.
Because we don't have enough space in our house.
Yeah, that's why.
You can't.
Get out the random powder bathroom. It just doesn't make any sense somewhere.
The guests can go poop in my room. I have a secret speakeasy.
Honestly.
If it was just easier, you know, you got to find a contractor. It's just too much work.
It's not really that much work. It's just putting like a bookcase in the place of where a door is. And then
it's a lot of work.
I mean, anything back
making
there is
it look,
cool.
Making it look cool. Like, here's like you've got a bedroom, a bathroom, and then there's this random bookcase.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this lead to?
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to know.
Mm-hmm. Or just weird sex dungeon.
You just and it's really just me and an iPad in there.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I just left Taco Bell and had two cheesy gordita crunches based on your opinion, Sarah, and they're terrible. Do you know why it's not on the menu? Because they suck. This is ridiculous. Mahoney, can you help this guy out and tell him that they're just the most worst taco you've ever had in your life?
Message deleted.
Fight. The most worst taco you've ever had in your life? Yes.
It's as bad as his grammar.
Shut up. Cheesy gordita crunches are a treat from heaven. They are delightful.
They are good, but I was saying that the toasted cheddar
chalupa
was much better than the cheesy gordita crunch.
There is nothing better.
But they discontinued it.
They discontinued the cheesy...
The toasted cheddar.
Toasted cheddar?
Yeah.
Yeah, because no one would order it.
Dude,
because why would they order it when there's the cheesy gordita crunch available?
What is a gordita crunch? Like, I see it,
it's
but I've never ordered it.
Gordita with a taco inside
but
of
what's
it.
A gordita?
What, held together by melted cheese.
Okay.
It's just like a...
It's a taco with a...
It's like
melty
a,
cheese.
Yeah, a gordita is just like a fluffy tortilla, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah. It's almost like...
like a little air puff. Remember those
puff?
I wouldn't go that puff thick. Chips. It's almost like... What do you get at the Greek places? What's that stuff called?
A falafel?
Not falafel.
A gyro?
Not gyro, but what's the...
A pita.
Pita. It's like
pita. Oh, pita.
It's almost like pita bread.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
No. The pita bread's very different, though. Like, this is... It's like a fluffy tortilla. It's a fluffy tortilla.
You're a fluffy tortilla.
You take it back, you son of a bitch. You're not allowed in my sex dungeon anymore.
It's people whose lifetime goal is
wants to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
I don't know if this is a telltale sign that the relationship is not headed in the direction that you want, but, you know, you're in the hospital and you've been sick and you're not feeling well and your loved ones are coming to visit and support you. And your girlfriend stabs you with a pair of surgical scissors while you're still in your hospital bed.
Oh,
oh boy. Tania D. Sherrod, 18, charged with aggravated battery with a weapon after the incident. The arrest report lists that it happened at the hospital. Her boyfriend was in the hospital bed about 10:30 p.m. that day. She was with him. They started arguing over suspected infidelity. She's accusing him of cheating on her while he's laid up in the hospital. She became irate when the boyfriend wouldn't let her see his phone. That's when she picked up a pair of surgical scissors the hospital room and started stabbing him in the right thigh, causing multiple puncture wounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Where's the Dave Coulier cut it out drop?
Oh, my gosh. No, that's the second time I've heard about people getting beat up in the hospital. There was a video circulating on Twitter yesterday. Did you guys see this?
No.
Of a girl who was laid up, booty hole naked in her bed at the hospital, and a girl comes in and just beats her up. It was a girl fight.
Wow.
Yes. I was like, what on earth?
I can't imagine a much worse place to get into a fight, just because I feel like everything that you run into hurts you. But also, the idea of being in a fight naked is towards the top of my list of things that I never want to happen to
me. If somebody's breaking into my house, the first thing I'm doing is putting on underwear.
Yeah, I mean, just even a pair of boxers makes it so much more appropriate to fight. In fact, that's what, like, most people actually, like in the UFC, fight in, right?
Yeah.
It's essentially just like a pair of boxers.
Panties,
But can you imagine if you just remove that one small article of clothing?
Oh,
how
so exposed.
You're just like,
you got another weapon, potentially.
No.
Not really.
No.
I'd like to call it a weapon. It's not.
Can somebody die from laughter? It's my home defense.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Quit touching me with that.
What is that, a thumbtack?
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So Audrey refuses to get into a vehicle if it's going to go over the speed of... When do you start to think it's unsafe?
Honestly. I start looking at the speedometer if I'm in the passenger seat of someone's car, if I feel like it's like creeping towards 80. Like if it's like 76, obviously, like that's normal. That's like...
What's the difference between 76 and 85?
Not much.
Nothing.
10 miles per hour.
9 miles per hour. Thank you.
I'm a rounder in my favor.
No, I mean, so, like if you hit a brick wall, you know, going 76, you're definitely going to be as smoked as if you hit it going 85.
But I can feel the difference. My anxiety
Are you riding in a Model T? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I mean,
I can feel it in my Camry. Yeah. I drive a Camry.
I mean, do you have a 4 or 6 cylinder?
Do you think I know the answer? I got a Sport. Got a Camry Sport.
Probably a 6 cylinder.
Maybe. Well, no. I mean,
I don't know the difference.
You like,
I got it because I like the wheels.
When you're going that fast, you shouldn't. You don't feel it. Like I find myself driving on long stretches of road, and I go fast, and I look down, and sometimes I go, "Holy crap! I can't believe I'm going that fast." When there's no other cars around, it's hard to like really determine how fast you're going without looking at the speedometer.
But when my life is a solid 65 miles an hour, I can feel the difference when I jump up to 85.
Ryan said, can't even climb on the roof because I'm afraid of heights.
Yep.
Another Ryan said, I have never been and am absolutely terrified of getting on a plane.
Really?
And I'm 43 years old. Don't judge.
You've never been on a plane?
Never been on a plane.
Wow.
Not so judging, but they are so much safer than what I feel. Just
you go like 800 miles an hour in a plane.
But they're,
you're rocketing through the sky at 800 miles an hour in a metal
tube.
But it doesn't.
It's about what it feels like. It's not necessarily the speed. In an airplane, I can't feel. Like, the turbulence freaks me out. Like, if I can feel, it's the feeling of it. It's not how fast I'm going. It's that if I can feel it in the car, if the car itself, like, if you're saying that when you're in your cars, you can't feel that you're going 85 miles an hour, then that's cool. But in my car, I can feel that I'm going 85 miles an hour, and I don't like it.
It's... I get that you choose not to drive fast, but you've never even been in a vehicle with somebody going 85 because you're so willing to shut it down and tell them to slow the F down.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And on an airplane, I just keep my wife.
Oh, sure.
That would be it.
That's it.
I'm like, I can't. I got a need for speed, baby.
You can drive fast without me there. Andrew drives slow, too. We're slower. We're slow people.
That's funny. Andy said, I will never go on a cruise ship. I've been told by many people, including Mahoney, over a couple of beers once, who have gone on cruises, that it's not bad at all. But the fear of being on a floating hotel in the middle of an ocean is just terrifying to me.
If you think about it, it does. Like, you're thinking about how big that those boats are and, like, the fact they are floating, you know. And, yeah, it's science and, you know, buoyancy and that sort of stuff all plays a factor. But you're like, this is a metal. And we're floating in the middle of the ocean, even though you're really pretty close to land most of the time. Unless you're doing like a transatlantic or a trans-Pacific style cruise. But I'm always afraid of falling over the top.
Yes.
By getting really drunk, like getting blackout drunk and like
just whoop,
and head over heels.
Don't even get close to it. I don't even get near the edge.
I don't even think if I fell over, I don't even try to stay alive.
You just sink.
I'm just dead. I'm going down.
If you think about Titanic, like how crazy those kids were. I mean, first, you know, the hanging off the front of the boat.
Insane.
Like, what are you doing, man?
Insane.
You're out there like holding the hands on the front of the boat and she's got her arms out like she's Jesus. Like, hey, man, you about to meet Jesus? You keep that up?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Rose?
Or something.
Yeah. Old Jack goes over. What do you think? What if that was like the original plot line of the movie? Achoo! Bloop, 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 bloop.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So what are you terrified of? Like, what scares you to death? The idea of doing it so much so that you probably won't even do it. This one texted over to us. Anything involving spiders. I refuse to allow them to live if they get within 100 feet of me.
Guys, I have another good one. You know those saltwater tanks? It's like the floating ones that they lock you inside.
Yeah, the deprivation chambers.
Yes. No way.
No?
Oh, really?
No, it's like a mini coffin filled with water and you're just floating with no sound.
You don't think that would be peaceful, though, in a way?
No.
I've never done it. I've thought about it. But
no,
I'm
claustrophobic,
like,
and you can't sit up. You're only laying there buoyant in a little, like, coffin, a water coffin.
So, that doesn't bother me in concept, but when you actually, because I don't get claustrophobic in the sense of, like, I feel like the room's closing in on me, but if I'm trapped somewhere, like, have you ever been doing that where you're like, I don't know, trying to reach something behind, like, the dryer or something, you get stuck for a second, like, that feeling of you're just like,
as a kid, I would climb through anything, right?
Yeah.
Now, like, if there's a hole or something, I'm not going anywhere.
Ooh, like cave diving.
Oh, never. I would never do.
I
would like to go diving because I like snorkeling, but I would
scuba
never
diving
do,
is a lot of fun.
But I'm not
like,
cave
like
diving.
Going into something underground, like, forget about it.
I'm getting wedged in between two rocks and dying.
Yes.
Ricky, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? First off, I want to apologize. My voice is gone. But anyways, I've been in 15 car accidents. I'm 33 years old now, and I will refuse to drive next to a semi-truck because I've been in the middle of, I guess, a sandwich on the freeway three times with semi-trucks.
You have gotten into 15 accidents by the time you're 33 years old. Are you just a terrible driver or just have really bad luck?
Not one accident has been
resolved. Oh, my gosh.
I'm with you, though. Staying next to, when on the highway next to semis, I blow past. Like, especially on, like, long, like, if you're on, like, long highways that are empty and there's only two lanes and there's a semi there, I'm like, I will go 120 miles an hour to pass that semi. I'm not standing next to it or staying next to it for any amount of time.
Yeah, thanks for the call today, Ricky.
Get a sandwich, though. That's
like stressful.
When you got on each side.
Especially
also,
when it's raining.
What are you doing in the fast lane, truck? No.
You want to go 1 mile per hour faster.
This one, I would never take pictures with sharks in chummed water without a cage.
No. Even with the cage.
Even the idea of, like, I'm in a cage. You're like, man, there's these death machines just floating around trying to eat everything in sight. Like, pass.
No way.
Like, that one lady who was just scuba diving. I don't even know if she had a scuba tank on.
Nope, she didn't.
She was just sitting there flippering right next to this gigantic 20-foot-long great white shark. And you're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?
Oh, no way.
I work for the Grand Canyon. Anytime I have to go out there, I stand a good 10-plus feet back from the edge, not scared of heights, just scared of big holes.
Come on.
Who's gonna
it was
make
too
joke?
Easy.
Who's going to make it?
It's too easy.
It's too easy. It's too easy. We're better than that. We're better than that.
What about those rock climbers who do the rock climbing without a harness?
You're just asking.
You're
to
asking
die.
For death.
You're asking to die.
Asking for death. Cash said you couldn't pay me $1 million to pet a pigeon.
Yeah.
That's so random.
I don't
and birds are gross.
Pet a pigeon either.
They're dirty.
They are. They're nasty.
They don't want you petting them either, Mahoney. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
For me, it's a motorcycle. I'm not riding any.
Casey said ride a motorcycle, go skydiving, or bungee jumping. So pass.
Like motorcycles, like even like 20 years ago, I'm like, nah, not really my thing. Not really going to. More so now that literally everybody is texting and driving. Like, I don't know. Like,
the only appealing thing about a motorcycle would be like if you were going to go on like a trip to like the random outskirts of somewhere, like up the side of a mountain or out by a lake or something where there's very little traffic. Because, like you said, driving through the city on a motorcycle,
never.
Everyone's on their phone, like making bad decisions.
Even on the highway.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you get more into that. You get in that driving days where you kind of get mesmerized by the road and people don't see people on there. See, will you ride on your husband's motorcycle?
No, because he's a fairly new rider,
Wait.
For one.
You just posed all of those pictures acting like making it look like you were like.
We were parked.
No, I know, but. It made it look like you were on the back of his motorcycle. You guys,
there's not even a seat on it.
What? I feel so bamboozled. I thought you guys were out there hogging it up.
No, I don't ride on the back of it. So just go look at the picture. At Audrey on air and give it a like too. So there's actually no, he rides, but it's like more. He has like the need for that kind of thing. Too type A. I would get a motorcycle for myself, but I would also go only 65.
But you won't ride on his motorcycle.
No, because he's too new of a rider. Mm-hmm. And I'm also too type A.
I'm talking about just like with experience, though. Like,
I would ride on the back of it. If he, I wanted to clock like a certain amount before I feel comfortable, because I just don't want to ride with him on, like you're saying, on the freeway.
No, yeah.
And you get nervous and him.
You don't get a lot of second chances on those things.
No, so no, I just would rather be overly safe than sorry.
Derek said, I'll do anything as long as it doesn't involve having sex with old ladies for money or bear traps. Those are my two bugaboos. Hadn't really thought about the bear trap part of it. Terrifying.
I mean, yeah. Like you clamp down on your leg?
Yeah.
You gotta have to gnaw it off.
Yeah.
And I'm too fat to even get down there to gnaw it off.
But once you start, do you think you can finish eating it?
Morning show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Ian, you don't seem like the type of guy that is scared by much.
Not very much, but, you know, I was thinking about this topic last night, and I was doing some research. I actually have what's called megalophobia. So, like Andy very much a couple of segments ago, he was talking about cruise ships. I don't like going into really large buildings.
Really?
And there's just something about really big structures that really scares me. So, like, last time we were in Chicago, Mahoney got us a fantastic room, but it was just way too high up.
They share a room
and bed.
It's a twin.
But I always have to like psych myself up before I actually go into large structures.
Is that why you guys were drunk the entire time?
You lived in Chicago.
Yeah, and I didn't like large buildings. I don't even like being around them, so I try to avoid them.
What if you got a job in, say, New York City or Chicago, and they're like you're every single day was going into a large building in a high rise? Would that drive you crazy every day, or you think you'd get over it?
Every single day it would drive me crazy. I've had it for so long, I'd have to get anxiety meds at that point.
When we worked in Houston, we worked in a 20-story building, which it's big, but it's not like, you know, 80 or 100 stories, but it's still big. I will tell you, it gets old after about a week.
It seems cool. You're like, oh, we're way up on this high floor. You're overlooking the city, and you're like, no, it's just a big pain in the butt.
Now
every
I gotta take
day.
Two elevators. Yeah.
It's the worst whenever the wind blows, especially in Chicago, and you can feel the structures like kind of slightly sway.
Don't like that too much.
If you're up in the like St. Louis Arch, does that. Ooh. Like going up in the arch, it's like getting into a dryer, like the elevator, because it's curved, so it's like circular. So you have to like get into basically a dryer to get to the top up there. It is not, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Sarah said, not a fan of the ocean.
Sarah, we could be best friends, girl. Like, if you want to have a side convo about how much the ocean is terrifying, hit me up at Audrey.
I mean, the stuff that's in the deep ocean that we don't even really know about, scary as hell.
It
and
is.
Like squids and
ew.
All that octopus. Ew. Like sea creatures are straight up aliens.
Forget about the like the blatantly will murder you for fun stuff.
Yeah.
But just like all of the unknown.
all of the very white fish that are down there because they haven't seen sunlight the entire time that they've ever been in existence.
Those creepy fish that have a light bulb that hangs in front of their face.
Oh, their teeth. Oh, my gosh.
They need to go to an orthodontist.
Mandy said, I'm 31 years old. I've only taken the freeway a handful of times. I hate it. I take streets everywhere. My husband does the driving anytime we're together, and that's perfectly fine with me.
Love it.
Do you know anyone like that?
Yeah.
I know a couple of people that will not drive on the freeway.
That's bizarre to me. I mean, I can't imagine like the idea of having to take side streets everywhere when there's like, if there's a faster option, like if there was a light rail or if there was one of those, the hyper loops that they're talking about.
Have you ever been in an accident on the highway though?
No.
I have. And
actually I have. Yeah.
I got spun out. Like I got hit and spun out and like ran, T-boned like the median going from the fast side to the slow side. And it took a couple months to be comfortable again driving on the freeway. Like it was, you know, like I would say, like if you get into an accident on the freeway, I get it. Like I hated driving on it when I was like 16. Hated, like when you first start driving, like trying to like get up there and get going to speed.
Yeah,
but now
not
I'm just,
me, man.
Like,
I was ready to go.
When can I get off this ride?
Darren said, I never check my bag when flying. I just can't let my belongings be handled by other people when traveling. My wife sometimes will check her luggage, and I scream internally every time.
Ah, so you are a control freak, friend. Mm-hmm. I feel that.
I'm with you. I just hate waiting for the stupid carousel. Yeah. That's what I fear, having to wait there and then your bag doesn't come.
Or gets lost.
How is it that three planes that land after mine always unload their luggage faster? I'm always standing there. And also, people don't understand the rule that you're supposed to stand back.
And then move up
whenever your bag comes out. Because if you stand right there at the side of it and you hover, nobody can see which bags are coming out until it's too late. And then some little old lady's going to have to wait for her bag to go around three times because your fat ass won't move.
Move out the way.
What about this one? What if you were going on a safari? Would you ever do one of those? Like where it's just like the open jeeps where you can have like
let's see if the lion can run faster.
No way.
I want to do one of those for photography. I would love to do like a photo safari down
and then just
like
a
Africa.
Rhino coming straight towards you. That'd be an awesome action shot. That'd be so terrifying. It would look great. It would look great.
Just make sure there's a guy with a big old gun.
Oh
man. There's more animals than bullets out there.
Yeah, but I mean, the
you
one,
would
don't
get
take
eaten
out
by
rhino.
A hippopotamus.
I'm not going into
you
the water.
For
I'm
sure.
staying on the jeep, man.
I want a hippopotamus for photography.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
You act like a picture of a hippo wouldn't be cool as hell on your
Only
on the IG.
A hippopotamus will do.
No rhinoceroses.
Only hippopotamuses.
That girl's dead.
Is she the one who sang it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, jeez.
Why would you even say that, you Grinch?
That's right.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Mahoney, you need to take it back, sir. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. She is not dead.
She's still alive.
She's still alive.
76 years old, living in Oklahoma City.
76? That's actually not old at all.
She was 10 when the song came out.
She recorded that when she was 10?
10 years old.
Oh, man, that's peaking way too early.
She did all right. She got a bachelor's in education and owned her own advertising agency for many years. According to Wikipedia.
Do you think she always tried to, like, drop hints that
actually,
was her? She's like...
Right.
She's like, boy, sure had a lot to eat, sure to feel like a hippopotamus.
They actually bought her a hippopotamus, the Oklahoma Zoo did. And then she donated it back to them.
What the? That's.
What? That seems really incestuous. Why would you do that?
Well, they was like, so they the Oklahoma Zoo could have a hippopotamus.
For Christmas.
Cover your ears.
Dustin is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show for a round of Cover Your Ears. What's up, Dustin? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Good. So these are all popular alternative songs that you've heard a lot of times over the years, but they are done with some artistic interpretation that may be a little different than the original. So it can be kind of tricky to figure out what the song is, but your job is to figure out the song and the artist. If you're able to do that, then we're going to hook you up today, but you have to get at least two out of the three. If you get just the artist or just the song, it's a half point, full point for both the artist and the song, okay?
Beautiful.
All right. Best of luck to you. 30 seconds for each one of these songs. Let the full thing play out before you make your guess. And again, looking for two out of three to win today. Here is number one in Cover Your Ears. that's 30 seconds there. That was really amazing when the friend came in. I didn't expect that.
I was hoping it was going to get a little bit more hard.
There was supposed to be a guitar in that.
I'm very disappointed in myself. I could barely hear it, but I have no clue.
No clue at all, huh?
Now two singers, band with two singers.
Oh, man. I have no clue.
All right, no worries. You're still very much alive here. That was Linkin Park and Numb is what you were looking for there. Linkin Park and Numb.
Okay.
It's all right.
The little static
Mike Shinoda part there was really
They tried plugging in a guitar, but the guitar did not work halfway through. Right, so that's why we just got stuck with the little keyboard.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so here we go on to number two. Let's have a listen.
There's a tournament town. No post.
All right, so there we go. What do you got for us?
That sounds like me after we won't go there. That's Royals by Lord.
Yeah, nice. There you go. Full point. Well done, Dustin.
Timing a little off.
Little off.
Well, I mean, an interesting artistic interpretation.
And the echoes were overlapping each other, too. Chaos.
All right, so we have got one more to go. You need a full point here. If you get a half point, maybe we'll send you to the bonus round. We'll see. Let's have a listen.
Oh, shit. All right.
I mean, that's just so terrible.
Nothing.
I can't even. I mean, I'm looking at what it is right now. I wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
Is it Nirvana?
Yeah. What's your guess there, Dustin?
I have no idea what that is.
For some reason, I feel like that's Billie Eilish.
It's not.
Man.
That was tough, man. That's the worst one we've ever heard.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was just a bunch of noise.
That was straight noise.
That was rough.
Let's give him another one.
Yeah, we do have a bonus.
Okay. What was that?
Mahoney gave him the answer.
Yeah, was it Nirvana?
It was Nirvana. Yeah, it smells like Teen Spirit. Yeah.
I mean, that's a real bad.
It sounded actually just like noise.
All right, Dustin. We'll go to the bonus round here, okay?
You should have went with what I said, Dustin. Come on, man.
I know.
Why are you letting brother down?
There's no way.
All right, here we go. We go from the worst cover we ever played to easily the best.
That was amazing.
What do you got for us for the win? Full point.
All-time favorite band, Metallica, Enter Sandman.
You did it. Well done.
That was beautiful. I want Brock Lesnar to walk out to that in his next fight.
To that version of it?
Yes. And he sambas out there.
Yeah.
It's top stories.
So it's the most magical time of the year, they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this sweet? A woman attacked her boyfriend with an artificial Christmas tree.
Oh.
A disturbance in Clearwater, Florida. Cops were forced to enter the home of Crystal Graham, 38 years old. Of course, her name is Crystal. Upon entering the residence at about 7 a.m., Graham and the victim were actively engaged in a physical altercation. So when you get into a fight, it seems like it takes an eternity, but really it's like 4 seconds and you're just gassed out. This had to have been going on long enough for somebody to have heard it, called the cops. The dispatcher tells the cops to go there. They go there, and the fight is still going on.
Wow.
During the police interview, Graham said the couple had been arguing due to the victim setting the TV volume too high while she was sleeping.
It's too much. That's a Christmas tree beating for that ass.
Squared up to the victim and started screaming in his face. And that's when she said, you know what? A scream is not good enough. Time for that Christmas tree whooping. And she grabbed the artificial Christmas tree and threw the three different sections of the tree at the 38-year-old victim. So she like pops
it. Oh, man. There had to be ornaments on it, right?
Had to have been.
Breaking like little mini grenades. I just imagine that scene from The Cable Guy. Do you remember that between Jim Carrey and Matthew Broderick where they're fighting at medieval times and they're both grabbing for the Christmas tree trying to get the upper edge? What a scene to come stumbling upon if you're a law enforcement officer.
I feel like if you're getting to that point in your relationship where you're fighting with objects, maybe just don't live with each other. You're not compatible.
If you feel incited to violence over the volume of the TV, it's time to move it on.
Therapy.
So there is a guy that was out for a jog at Lake Louise in Alta about 5 p.m. on Friday when he heard a boom behind him. Quote, I looked over my shoulder. I kind of heard something, and there was an avalanche heading my way. So he was running along Lakeshore Trail with his wife, daughter, and son. They were also on the trail behind him out of the avalanche's path. But sure enough, pretty terrifying incident for this guy as, you know, he's out for just a jog, and all of a sudden there's an avalanche, and we have some audio from...
So this is in Canada. This guy has the most Canadian reaction to an avalanche I have ever heard. He's just so nice about it, as opposed to anybody else maybe in the States who would just be screaming their head off. This guy's just like, wow.
Very understanding of this avalanche.
Avalanche. Wow. Here it goes. I don't think it's coming this far. Oh. Wow. That's crazy. Wow! Avalanche. Just the end of Lake Louise. Wild.
He really only does two things. Breathes incredibly hard and just says, wow, like wow. Owen Wilson.
If you're out for a run in the winter, you deserve to get caught in an avalanche. What are you trying to prove to somebody? You're out running while there's like 30 feet of snow outside? Get out of here, Canada.
If you happen to leave 20 pounds of your meth inside of an air fryer in Kentucky, police would like a word with you.
Was it maybe that woman Crystal Graham from earlier?
Police in Kentucky confiscated an unusual gift being delivered to a man's home, a package with about 20 pounds of meth that was shipped inside the mail of an air fryer. Narcotics officers were able to intercept the parcel containing about $100,000 worth of drugs.
Wow.
Louisville police said in their Facebook post that they put up on Saturday, the package was delivered to a suspect's home when officers obtained a search warrant to collect it. The major case unit confirmed to the news outlet the suspect wasn't at home at the time of the seizure. So photos posted by the cops show at least 7 packages of drugs wrapped in the plastic along with the Hamilton Beach brand air fryer in the box that it came in.
That's a good one. They're on sale right now at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Ooh.
Check it out.
Really?
Did you buy one?
No.
Oh.
I want it.
Spend all his money on meth.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
My wife won't let me have an air fryer.
Why?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'll start air frying everything.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I feel like milkshakes are just for kids. You know, once you get to a certain age, it's weird if you've been drinking a milkshake, right? You know, we're all adults here. When was the last time you guys went somewhere and ordered yourself a milkshake? I think it's weird.
Message deleted.
It's been a long time, but milkshakes are delicious. It's just after the fact, I feel like crap.
Oh, I don't.
You don't?
I had one last week. Shake Shack. Shake Shack has awesome shakes. It's a milkshake.
Yep.
In-N-Out has awesome milkshakes.
No, they're great. I feel like as I've gotten older, I'm more lactose intolerant. Like just having a milkshake would just mess me up.
There's something so magical when you are eating piping hot fries and you were able to cool your mouth down with a glorious chocolate or strawberry shake.
I will say that my milkshake does bring all the boys to the yard. Damn right.
Yep.
It's better than yours.
Mm-hmm. I like milkshakes. I feel like you don't have to be a specific age in order to enjoy something like that.
Yeah, don't you ageist. How dare you shame us for enjoying a delicious milkshake? I might go get one today.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
You're lactose intolerant bitch.
I poop everywhere.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So a lot of people claim they're scared of the dentist. Me? I'm afraid of the chiropractor. But you never hear of anyone being taken out while going to the dentist. But, you know, just one little crack in the wrong place on your back and neck or whatever, and, like, you can be put out for life. You know what I mean?
Message 100%. Deleted.
I will never go to a chiropractor.
Audrey over here has got this look on her face because she will straight up just let somebody just break her neck.
Nope.
I was actually watching a chiropractic video maybe about 10 minutes ago.
What's wrong with you?
It's just so, so satisfying to watch and to have them do it to you. I think that it's honestly more satisfying in the areas of danger.
It's so pseudoscience, though. Like, I'm not afraid of my dentist because I know my dentist is an actual doctor. Chiropractors, on the other hand, the swings in education and training way too much.
They're trying to pair it now with the wellness category of like yoga mixed with massage therapy and chiropractic, and it's
And chicks are so weird. Like, you guys like watching chiropractic videos and popping people's pimples and stuff. Like,
I love pimple popping videos.
Of course you do. You're gross.
Oh,
man.
I love it. I can watch it all day long.
Wrong
it's
with
so
you.
Satisfying.
What's satisfying about
like,
it?
Like, if one of you two would let me pop a pimple on you would, I would do it.
You would
nasty.
Do it?
I would do it on
gross.
Any one of you.
Well, okay, man, you know us well, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if there was a stranger?
No, that would be embarrassing. That would be just because that's embarrassing.
For
I wouldn't
who?
Go up to some for the person.
For
I'm
the
like,
person?
Let me pop your pimple.
No, but what if we just like said, anyone with a large zit, come down to the radio station right now. Would you do it? You would. Oh, you're so disgusting.
I'm thinking about it.
You're so disgusting.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Bigger the better.
Ugh. Hey, what's up, guys? I got a question for you. If you guys were the Mandalorian, would you use Baby Yoda to pick up chicks? And Audrey, do you think that would work on you? Let me know what you guys think.
Message deleted.
We're gonna all of us.
Why do you think guys have cute dogs? It's the only reason. Like, you got these big ass dudes who got these tiny little dogs that are cute as hell. The only reason they're using those is to bait women into talking to them.
Is there any creature, real or fiction, meaning like in the movies, TV, whatever it is, cuter than Baby Yoda?
No. Ooh.
I say no.
Nope.
Cutest of all time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait till he hits his teenage years, though.
He's gonna have a lot of pimples.
Oh, you're gross.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Baby Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. Pretty
maybe.
Cute too.
Top stories. Here's what's making news.
Is this sweet or creepy? You guys tell me what you think, okay?
Let's hear it.
A man born with no testicles gets one donated to him by his twin brother so he can have kids with the same DNA.
That doesn't seem creepy.
Surgeons have transplanted a single testicle from a 36-year-old Serbian man to his identical twin brother, who was born with none. I feel like you're giving up your advantage, though. Like, you're the bro that has nuts.
How does that work?
I didn't even know you could do that.
I didn't either.
I did not know that.
The old Indiana
I have a lot
Jones.
Of
got the bag of sand, uh-huh. The golden idol,
uh-huh.
And then a giant one comes rolling after you.
Babies born without testicles are extremely rare. There are a few stats that have, you know, come by just how rare it is, but it does happen from time to time. And sure enough, they are going to be able to, they think, make this transplant successfully. And if that's the case, then hypothetically, at least, he could have kids with his own DNA with, you know, his wife or girlfriend or whatever it is, and the DNA will pass as a nearly exact match of his own.
I have so many questions about this. Does he just have like an empty, like,
yeah.
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 Just an empty little Crown Royal pouch.
Like, yeah.
I think, I mean, a brother who's willing to do that, I mean, that is a true, like, I mean, that is a true bro.
Yeah.
To the end. Like, who's willing to, you know, let one go for his bro.
Since we're already hanging out in the nether regions here, London firefighters have had to remind people not to put their junk in a toaster.
Is this a problem where they need to be reminding people not to do that?
I guess so. The medical director for the London Fire Department had to come out and acknowledge that 911 operators do receive a small number of sexually bizarre rescue pleas, and they do have to dispatch ambulances, including instances where they say men have lodged their junk into the rings of a toaster.
Why?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Do you have to like jam it in there? Or is it one of the ones that like open on the front? Like they have like, it's like an actual mini oven?
You're jamming it in there, right? Unless you're just doing the whole like, oh, I tripped and I fell onto my toaster excuse, which seems a little bizarre. But, you know, unfortunately, that's the case for some people.
Are we going to have to start sending toasters out with like little stickers on there?
Don't do this.
Like you know, anytime you see like a sign in a store, like a sticker that has the X through it, like don't do this. You know, somebody has done that.
Somebody has done that before. Yep.
What is it? Just going to be a sack in a toaster?
Or is this just a bored PR person who's just like randomly decides, like you know, please don't stick your junk in car doors today. You know, it's like just you know things that you probably should know. But feel the need to double down on?
You guys tell me if you buy this theory. This is a campaign that's running right now in Brazil, and there is a Brazilian culture official, whatever the hell that is, that said that rock music leads to drugs, which leads to sex, which leads to abortions. So rock music is to blame for abortions.
What?
Well, I can see how you make that that leap.
What? At the same time, the abortion industry feeds into something much more serious, which is Satanism.
Okay, so
rock music,
drugs, sex, abortion, Satanism. Got it. It's an 11-minute video that was posted on October 30th, and they were equating heavy rock acts like Elvis Presley and John Lennon.
heavy rock.
Saying that, quote, Lennon openly said more than once he made a pact with the devil, with Satan, in order to be famous and successful. In the 1950s, this so-called Elvis Presley emerges with rock music that makes everyone bounce and shakes their hips. This is what certain behaviors started being introduced. Elvis Presley, for instance, died of an overdose.
This is Brazil.
This is Brazil.
Brazil is one of the most sexually forward. Yeah,
Everyone's got a booty.
Have you not seen Carnival? Like what goes on during that? And you're worried about Elvis Presley's hips? This cultural minister. And the best part about all this, he condemns all rock music.
Yes,
except for Metallica.
Yeah, I said Metallica's cool. And one Brazilian band named Angra. Would you like to hear Angra? I have a little clip.
Absolutely. Let's hear some non-devil rock.
Non-devil rock, Metallica, and
this is not going to make me do drugs.
No
and have
drugs,
abortions,
sex, abortions, or Satanism. Yeah, right. Here we go.
I see why this isn't going to make me become a Satanist, because listening to this makes me feel like I'm already in hell.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
All the hate on Peloton has reinvigorated me on mine. I just ordered new and a new bike seat for mine.
Why?
Because I'm going to use it more now.
Mahoney swears that he is going to start using his Peloton again because 2019 was supposed to be a skinny year. That didn't really work out. So 2020 is now going to be a skinny year.
2020.
If I tell you that I don't think you can do it?
If you know me, that if I put my mind to something, I will 100% do it.
Yeah.
Just out of spite, because nothing motivates me more than spite.
I don't think you can do it. I think you've gone down the fat road too far.
You got to put money on it then. You got to set something up to make me spite you. Other than you're just, you know, your words. Those don't hurt me.
This is a perfect setup.
Put your money where your mouth is, Farrah.
I have to pay him to not be fat now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called motivating.
Yes.
$50 says you're still fat.
That doesn't hurt.
That doesn't even pay for the bike seat or the pedals. It's a pedal.
If I actually come with a large amount of money, I'm actively going to be sabotaging you.
What happens if it's $1 a day in the 365 days if you work out $1 a day by the end of the year?
I will tell you this much, that 300.
That would not move the needle.
That does not move the needle.
What?
Yeah,
it
does not. Nah, man. I need that.
If it was $100 a day, I don't think it would move the needle.
$100 a day? Yeah, that's $36,000.
$36,500.
I was going to say, what was the Roy Nelson thing where they wanted him to get in shape when he was in the UFC?
Yeah.
Didn't bodybuilding offer him 50 grand or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
To like lose 50 pounds or 40 pounds?
And he was like, nah, pass.
Yeah.
Kind of like being fat.
Yeah.
Worked out great.
Ain't working out too well.
X107.5, good morning. What's your name?
Kyle.
Kyle, what is the correct answer?
He ordered some pedals.
Ordered some new pedals, that's right. Get some tickets for Silver Sun Pickups. They are coming to Las Vegas. Going to be over at the House of Blues on Monday, February 10th. Tickets actually go on sale today at 10 a.m., so in just a couple of minutes here. But tickets are on sale today, and your chance to win them before you can buy them happening all this week. And Kyle, you're the first one to pick up a pair, so congratulations to you, man.
Right on. Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. By the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.